Romans chapter 8 today. We're going to go as slowly and as quickly through the message this morning as need be, as the Lord leads. And we'll either, we don't get through, I'm planning to get through it, but if we don't get through it, we'll either do it tonight or next Sunday morning. A very important verse, and what I'll ask that if you memorize it, or if you've got this verse memorized, or if you're very familiar with it, don't turn off. Don't turn off. Let's look at this verse a little bit more and the context. Romans chapter number 8, beginning with verse 18. I love the word reckon. I use that word a lot growing up in the South. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse number 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation or creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. So when Adam and Eve fell into sin, lots happened in the world. The bad stuff that happens in the world, the sin and the world was affected. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into this glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. The hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What's the understood answer to that question? If God be for us, who can be against us? The understood answer is no one. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, wait. He just said some of us were slain. But he says those slain people are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There are so many verses that we could have used in this passage for our memory verse this time. But I wanted to talk to you about Romans 8:28. And I think that's a good one for us to remember. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I need you to remember this morning, if we don't go back here, but we will, that those things that happen, there is a purpose. There is a purpose. First thing I want us to look at this morning is the charisma of Romans 8:28. The attraction, the charm. What is the attraction or the charm of this verse? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. This is a verse that many of us have memorized, and there's just times when it comes flooding back. You just need that reminder. One writer says this: "It has been my experience that in my lowest moments, I feasted on Romans 8:28. I've run to it like a starving man runs to a meal, and I have drunk from it like a parched man drinks from an oasis. I've needed Romans 8:28, and it has both comforted my soul and directed my grief." Other writers have said this, that the attraction of this verse is it's like a soft pillow for a tired heart. The greatest charter of gospel comfort for God's people. And someone else described this verse as it's arguably the greatest promise in the Bible, for it summarizes all the others. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." May I ask us, though, or may I just caution us about two different people that this verse may not be especially appropriate for? And I ask that if you're going to share it with these people, that you do it very carefully. The first one that I ask you to be very hesitant about sharing that with is the person that has just experienced a tragedy. Their son or their daughter, their wife, passed away, killed in a car wreck, plane wreck. We go to them, and in the sincerity of our thoughts, we say to them, "You know, we know that all things work together for good." The thought is sincere, but at the time, it's probably not appropriate. In fact, the man who quoted this one, he said when his son passed away, he said that was about, it was not the verse that he needed to know. It wasn't the verse that he wanted to cling to at the time. Yes, eventually down the road, as the stress and as the pressures ease a little bit, the person who's just gone through a very, very difficult time, just a life has been shattered. You think that verse to yourself, but maybe be careful about sharing it with someone else. Next person that we ought to be careful about sharing that verse with is someone that doesn't know the Lord. I remember reading about this Christian fella. He had great potential. And the writer of the story that I was reading said, oh man, if anyone in our church is going to follow the Lord, this guy's going to use his life for God. Well, this young fellow was in an accident. And he was fighting for his life there in the hospital. Someone went up to his dad who was not a believer. And they shared that verse. And then his son eventually died. And here this guy is, he's hearing this, well, God works all things together. And lots of times if you share a verse like that with people that don't know the Lord, they don't understand how God's working in all of life. And they could actually say, well, God is a mean God. So be careful about using that verse with people that don't know the Lord. What's the context of Romans 8:28? For we know, and by the way, always throw that we know part on. Don't just say all things work together for good. Go ahead and throw that part on at the first. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to God. To His purpose. So the context of this verse, the verse is around Romans 8:28, identify suffering, they identify hope, and they identify love. Three things, they're honest. They identify there's going to be suffering. In fact, Paul says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That word suffering is the things that happen to us. It's not necessarily the things that we go out and do. It's the things that come right where we are and that happen to us. Those things that are going to happen. And I love the fact that Paul reckons this. Paul, you read 2 Corinthians chapters 10 and 11, the things that he suffered, and he kept his eye on the Lord, and he said, the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. This man says, you know what? Of all the sufferings that I've went through and gone through and endured, they're nothing compared to what we'll see in glory. But they do cause grief. And he says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. You know, there's a song written, It's a Wonderful World. Beautiful song. You know what? It is a beautiful world. But you know what? It's also a sinful world. This world feels the effects of sin. And as magnificent and as wonderful as our world still is, the effects, I mean, can you just hear the world groaning? The rocks and the ground, the trees. We're under sin's curse. It causes nothing but pain. They're all groaning. Now, some of us groan when we get out of bed. Oh, we know what groaning's like. He says there that the whole earth groaneth. The whole earth feels the effects of sin and it understands suffering. And not only they, but ourselves, we understand that we groan within ourselves waiting for the Lord to change things, waiting for eternity to come. But notice he recognizes the pain and the difficulties, but he says, wait, there's hope. for we know that all things work together for good. May I ask that if you're in a situation right now that you don't see any answer for, guess what is in the context of this verse? Hope. Hope. And this is not that word, I hope so. It is a confident expectation that God is going to work. Lord, don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you with it. Then our verse for today, and then afterwards, we see God's plan that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. And we see the purpose. He wants us to look like His Son. When we've gone through all the circumstances that He allows in our lives, He wants us to be more like His Son. But notice it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, my circumstances are against me. My neighbor's against me. My health is against me. My friends, well, used to be friends, are against me. My workmates are against me. Life is against me. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? But notice, God understands what suffering's like. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He allows the sufferings, but He understands He gave His own Son. Can you imagine? Can you imagine giving your child to die in the place of a criminal? Can you imagine doing that? That's what the Lord did. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, will any of these bad things separate us from His love? No. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And then Paul says, I'm persuaded, I'm confident that neither death, anything, me dying, nor anything that happens in my life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here is the context, suffering. And we know that all things work together. There's suffering. And we don't mind the good things that happen. But we know that all things work together for good. I want you to notice the candor of these verses. Well, what in the world are you talking about? Word candor gives the idea of being frank, honest, upfront. Frank, honest, upfront. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. This verse comes right where I'm at in my circumstances. It looks me right dead in the eyes. It looks me right dead in the eyes. And it says this, even though your life, your world, your situation is falling apart, we know that all things work together for good. What do we do with that? Well, sometimes we might say, well, maybe in somebody else's life, okay. But the Lord, with this verse, He comes right where we're sitting, right where we're standing, and says, we know that all things work together for good. You heard of B.B. Warfield? B.B. Warfield, Benjamin Breckridge or something like that, Warfield. He was a theologian who was a defender of the inspiration of Scripture back when people were trying to say the Bible wasn't from God. Well, this man, he got married when he was 25. He and his wife went to Germany on their honeymoon. And when they were on their honeymoon, they got caught in a really, really serious thunderstorm. And something happened, whether his wife was struck by lightning or whatever the effects were, she was, from that point onwards, her nervous system, she was just never the same. And though she could walk, and though she did some things with him, and they would have people over from time to time, it wasn't that she was invalid, it wasn't that she lost all being, but she was not able to do near half of what she used to could be. So here he goes on his honeymoon, he's got his wife, and all of a sudden, whether she's struck by lightning or something else in the storm, changes their life forever. In fact, he spent a lot of his time looking after her. You know what he says about these verses? This is him. And we know that in all things God works for good, for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. The fundamental thought is the universal government of God. All that comes to you is under His controlling hand. The secondary thought is the favor of God to those that love Him. If He governs all, then nothing but good can befall those to whom He would do good. Though we are too weak to help ourselves and too blind to ask for what we need and can only groan in uninformed longings, He is the author in us of these very longings, and He will also so govern all things that we shall only reap good from all that befalls us. Only good. Vicki Alavas. Vicki Alavas, her husband had just left her. And this is way back in 1976. She's going for a job interview. And Vicki starts looking for the place where she's got to support her and her two-year-old son. They go, she goes to the interview. And on her way to the interview, she's a little bit lost. She asks someone for directions, and they point down to the end of the road and a building, and she goes in. And all of a sudden, just from the very beginning, she gets the strange feeling from the way the two fellows were looking at her. Well, she started filling out some paperwork, goes into a room, starts filling out paperwork for the job, and all of a sudden one of the guys come in and locks the door behind them and starts attacking her. And she starts fighting back, and all of a sudden, she hears a bang, and her world just goes in a spin, and she feels blood. She looks, and there's blood. And for whatever reason, the guy that attacked her took her to the hospital, dropped her off, and she recovered. I think the guy, he got about 3 years for attempted rape. And the police didn't actually believe her, but they went to where she said it happened and found her purse and the gun, rah, rah, rah. But the guy got 3 years for that, and she was paralyzed for the rest of her life, quadriplegic. Fast forward to 1979, she's lost hope. She's lost hope. And Joni Erickson Tada, who, as a young girl, she became a quadriplegic by diving into water and it was too shallow, and so she became a quadriplegic. Well, she went to visit this lady and shared the gospel of Christ with her, and she was gloriously saved. Sometime later, they began looking at this verse because this lady had lost all hope, all desire to be in life. When this lady saw Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good, it just changed everything. She went from thinking, okay, well, things just happen randomly and there's no purpose in life. But wait, God really is in control. So these people, they understood the frankness of this verse. One writer said this, "Perhaps the greatest test of whether we believe Romans 8:28 is to identify the very worst things that have happened to us and then ask if we believe that in the end God will somehow use them for our good." That's my question for you this morning. You think about the very worst thing that's happened to you or that's happening now to you. We say, we quote, all things. We know that all things work together for good. We quote those verses. Do we believe them? Do we put them to practice in our lives? Do we apply them to the very worst situations that we face? So this morning, we've done about 3 of my points and I've got about 6. I think we'll look at this again next Sunday morning. Can we just meet together next Sunday morning? Okay. Same people. Everybody just comes back next Sunday morning. Just like this. Wear the same clothes. You don't even have to wash them. I'm kidding, okay? But second part of this next Sunday morning. But let me ask you something. Do you know that all things work together for good? Do you believe that? And I'm not promising you that God, and sometimes we take this is something we're going to look at next week. Sometimes we take this verse that everything's going to be better off. If God takes this job from me, He's going to give me a higher, better paying job. Not necessarily. It's not just about us. It's about Him. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Will we let anything that happens in our lives affect our love for God? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the confidence that we can have, that we know that all things do work together for good to those that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So glad that things that happen, there's purpose, Father, not just random events. And we can say that's true in our lives as well. Help us, Lord, as we look at this verse and we claim the truths in it, that we would be moved and we would be stirred to trust You with whatever comes our way and to have hope and to be assured that You love us. Thank You for coming right where we are and the circumstances that we're in and addressing us with this truth. So, Father, help us to believe this truth and to be changed by it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.